Good afternoon. Thank you for having us here today. We're going to look at this Science for Youth and Ministers program that we're trying at Azusa Pacific University, which is a Christian university. And so what we found was part of the issues and some of the backgrounds that led us to this. The American Association for the Advancement of Sciences has a subgroup called the Dialogue on Science, Ethics, and Religion. And they had pulled together some evangelical pastors, as well as scientists, to have some roundtable discussions. And in these roundtable discussions then, what they were trying to get at is that each group held ideas about what the other person believed, other groups believed. And they wanted them to start talking so that they could understand that, wait, we might have some similar ideas on this, or, oh, you don't believe that, or whatever else is going on. So I was part of that. And in that, they said they were starting to put classes in the seminaries, science classes in the seminaries. And so that kind of piqued my interest in all of this. In addition, Andy Root at Luther Seminary has kind of pushed having science in with youth ministries and how does that work. And he had surveyed some youth ministers. And in the survey then, they found out, they asked him, on average, how often do you have a conversation with a student in your ministry about science? And in this, about 71% of them had either weekly or monthly conversations around science. And then they also asked them how confident did they feel about teaching science with their youth ministries. And in that, about 49% were either neutral or not confident at all. So it seems like they're interacting with these science topics regularly and yet not feeling equipped to really address these questions with their youth members. In another group, the Barna group, David Kinneman put out a book called You Lost Me in 2011, and they had surveyed a large number of young adults trying to figure out why were they leaving the church. And there were several different reasons, but one of the perceptions of these people, of these young adults leaving the church, was that the church was anti-science. So we see that there's some holes, there's some problems that are going on, and we wanted to kind of help address that.
And we teach at, as Colleen mentioned, Azusa Pacific University, which is a Christian university. And we know that all of our students are required to take a science course as part of their education, but that is very separate from the classes that they take in the theology department. And so they do not learn how to integrate and synthesize and work through these conversations that we know that they will be meeting in their science, in their ministries. And therefore, we kind of foresaw that this would mean that some of these ministers, future ministers, would not be equipped to have conversations with the students in their youth groups. So we decided to try to pursue a collaboration between our department, which is the Department of Biology and Chemistry. That's the department that both Colleen and I are from. And it's an undergraduate department. And we sought out some relationships with people from the practical theology department at APU. It's an undergraduate department. And specifically, we looked for people in their youth and family ministries major. And the purpose of our project is to produce youth ministers that have the foundations and methods to hold discussions on science-based content informed by faith.
So there's kind of two-prong approach here that we have. One was to develop an entirely new class, and we'll talk more specifically about that. And the other prong approach was to put science lectures in courses that were already existing. And so they would just be punctuated in with the regular attending classes. So we had two people. One was Marion here, and she was ideal from our department in the sciences because she taught our anatomy, she taught our physiology. She teaches our capstone senior course in faith, ethics, and the sciences. And she also has a master's in apologetics. So we picked her from our department as the key person. She was very interested in this. And then we took a faculty member from the practical theology department, Jennifer Buck, who also had been, and both of them had been extremely involved in their youth ministries. So they had seen this interaction with the sciences that had been coming up regularly. So they seemed like the ideal faculty to develop a whole new course that we did not even have existing before this. So we have this two-prong approach. One is to make an entirely new class in the youth ministry program, but also to put in specific lectures into the courses that were already existing. So they immediately identified three classes that they thought this would happen naturally in: the adolescent development class, culture and ministry, and the adolescent issues and intervention classes. So those three classes are the ones that we just punctuated with science lectures.
And these were our learning objectives. One is to explore, to help the students understand and explore the methods used both by science and by faith, and that these are different methods and their spheres of investigation are different. Yet there is a relationship and how to think about this relationship. And a lot of what we did is expose them to different views on these. We were trying our best to not be just one-sided in our presentation to them, but to expose them to lots of possibilities. And through the understanding of the first couple of bullets, then we took the end of the semester as a time to synthesize and think through some of the perceived conflicts that we are aware of. And let me tell you a little bit about the course, specifically the course that we just finished running in the spring. Grades are up, and I have quite some unhappy students there. It was a tough class, and I'll talk a little bit about the challenges when we get there. So it was a 400-level elective class. We had 9 students. About half of them knew the title for the course, which is Science for Youth and Family Ministry. The other half did not know what they signed up for. So, you know, they needed a 3-unit upper division elective, and that was the one, you know, it's a topic, special topics class, and so they signed up for that.
I can just say that, as you can be aware, most youth ministers avoid science and math. So to have a course labeled like this and have some specifically sign up for it was a nice surprise.
So some of them, the first time they saw the title is when we handed the syllabus to them. Of course, the syllabus had been up on, you know, our website for a few days. But and we had sort of 2/3 to the class as far as topics are concerned. So first we talked about science and Christianity and understanding the philosophy of each, understanding the approach, the limits, and so on of each one. Then we spend about 1/3 of the class talking about origins and then contemporary science issues, including some of what you see there on the screen. And specifically for that third option, we were honored to have lots of guest lectures, mostly from the biology and chemistry department, some from theology department, some from philosophy. And these guest speakers all did it, you know, as voluntarily, and they were all excited to share. We'll read some of the comments that we had from them. So it was amazing to see our faculty jump in on the opportunity, and they really appreciated the project. And they were assigned a few books to read, as well as some articles that were assigned by the guest lecturers. Some of the surprises and the challenges. One was Jen and I had different views on some of the things that we were going to be talking about. In our first meeting, we discovered some of the issues there. And so we had to talk together through how we're going to handle that. And honestly, first, I was taken by that. I'm like, uh-oh. and then I discovered that this is the best platform to show the students that Christians do disagree about some of these things and how to disagree well and how to talk through these things and you know, not necessarily push for your own view, but how to help them. And so we tried, even in our book selection, we tried to be very cautious in making sure that, so it was a helpful thing to make sure that the class was pretty broad, some of the differences that we already had. To my surprise, the students, these are fourth year, you know, senior students in the theology department, specifically though in the youth and family ministries, but they were not familiar at all with any of the conversation, the deep conversation around origins, and they were not familiar with some of the terminology, like the word or the term evolutionary creation, for example. That's not something that I don't want to say they have not heard of, because sometimes students have, you know, they hear me talking, but they will not remember it 2 years later or actually a semester later when sometimes when I get them in the class. This was a big challenge for me since I was writing the study guides for the science content. How much science do I want them to remember? Obviously, we're teaching them the science to understand the implications and how to synthesize it with some of the religious concerns or perceived conflicts and so on. But do I want to remember, want them to remember what a synapse is and describe that? And that was one of the difficulties that I saw, and it definitely showed up on my feedback forms, which I had talked to my chair in advance about how we're going to handle that. Being a first class, first time to run the class, I anticipated difficulties for sure. Another surprise actually was that students were very engaged, and I could see that, Jen could see that, and all of our visiting faculty were really surprised by how engaged and how interested, and they asked a ton of questions, but at the same time, they were also very overwhelmed by the science, both the content, but how do you study this? It's very different than what they're used to in their ministry classes. Colleen will take us through some more.
So communication between departments took a long time. A lot of it just because we're all so very busy. So it would take a while to get a response back through email or whatever else, or to try to find a time that we could meet was very difficult. So we always need to think in long terms of getting answers back. Knowing the right science level, especially when you're going into somebody else's class and you don't know what those students have had or haven't had or how recently they had a science class. So to come in as a guest speaker to understand what level should I be presenting this at was also something we had to deal with. We also wanted, remember, we're going into somebody else's class, so they have their objectives, and I don't want to go in with my own objectives and meet only my objectives, but want to make sure that I'm meeting the objectives of the host lecture, host teacher's class. So we had to have communication around that. We thought we could just adapt some sort of assessment tool out there about this class and the outcomes, and there was nothing out there. So we had to start from scratch, and Jen and Marion had to work feverishly to get an assessment tool so they could do kind of a pre and post test so we could see where we were at in this new thing that we were doing. So we have some comments up there. They're long, but this is from one of the instructors where we had a guest speaker go into her class. And she said, my students were fascinated by the degree of detail and complexity. They engaged better and with these topics than in prior semester's classes, asking numerous questions during and after the lectures. This partnership has proven to be an invaluable resource for our students as they prepare for ministry. Here's another instructor for a different class who had a different guest speaker in her class. I thought the presentation was outstanding. Many of the students have not had a science class in years. I polled the students during the next class, and the unanimous conclusion was that integrating this topic into our curriculum was extremely helpful.
And I'll read through a couple of faculty comments from the ones who came to the class co-taught with ministry. So the ones Colleen read were the ones where we visited like the adolescent and development class once for the semester. This is from Louise Wong. She said, teaching the youth ministry students was a wonderful experience. I thoroughly enjoyed the intimate class and how we were able to discuss and think about these issues. She had talked about medicine and side effects and vaccines, and it was a very fascinating conversation. This is Dr. Cox, and he said that giving this lecture provided him with a new challenge. So our own faculty were challenged because he came in thinking that he was ready to hold this conversation on natural evil. That's the one he was talking about. Yet students asked him questions that he was not prepared for from their perspective. So it was very challenging for him. But he could sense that by the end of the lecture, the students had grown to a new understanding of these topics and hopefully it's a fuller appreciation of the intersection of these topics with their view of God. I won't read through this whole one, but just highlighting that for him, this was the highlight of his semester. So we really valued these comments from our colleagues, and their support really meant so much to us, but also their feedback. And it emphasized that everybody is excited and looking forward to seeing how this program can continue.
So this is from a student that was actually in the course, in Marion and Jen's course. This class challenged me in ways none of my other classes have, and it actually challenged me more theologically than any other class. I was confronted with the real-world issues that were refuting my beliefs and was forced to reconstruct my entire understanding of the Bible as a result. I had no idea I needed this class so badly, because I had no idea that science could play such a big role in our faith. I have allowed myself to wrestle with these issues rather than pretend that they are not there. I've absolutely loved this class because I love that challenge and the push for me to understand what that truth really is. I am super thankful that the instructors gave us so many good viewpoints rather than just telling us what is true and what isn't.
As Colleen mentioned, one of the things we wanted to do was to run a pre and post assessment of the class. That was very challenging to think before you've taught the class what questions you want to ask the students when you haven't seen how the class will actually go and what your guest lecturers will actually talk about. But we went out on a limb and we did it. And I just have a sample of a few questions here. So one of the questions was, what are stem cells and how are they useful to science and medicine? And the pre-answer from the student was not sure what stem cells are. And the post is stem cells help generate new cells and help in burn accidents, I guess, victims and other threatening times. So it's not as, you know, articulate as I would like the answer to be. Yet we went from don't know what stem cells are, that they are useful, and here are some examples. It is interesting because I don't think these examples came up in the lecture, but she came up with her own examples, which is good. Another question is, how do you think the Bible and science relate to one another? And the pre-answer was, I think the Bible and science relate when it comes to creation. There is also no way to disprove the Bible using science, so why not go hand in hand? And then the post answer is a little bit more articulate. The Bible and science are two different fields, and when brought together, can cause debate within the theological community, but powerful reconciliation and shared knowledge that lead to intelligence in both fields. I hope you understand what she's trying to say, but I think she says that, yes, they may be difficult to put together, but there could be a positive outcome once we do put them together. How accurate is this statement? Genetic engineering is playing God. And the pre, I don't know enough about genetic engineering to respond. And the post is, genetic engineering can be used as an incredibly helpful tool against sickness of all kinds. Health aims are not playing God, but instead helping people who are sick. However, certain enhancements, maybe like choosing your child's eye color, is taking too much power and could negatively affect our society. So we were pleased to see the advancement between the pre and the post answers. At least they're able to go from, I don't know anything, to here are some ways to think about it.
So here are our conclusions, that ministers need a better science foundation to address congregational needs. There just seems to be a hole there. Students find it helpful to add the science topics to the ministry classes, and that students in the Science for Youth and Family Ministry course were very engaged and appreciated the course. We realize that just having them have a class or having a couple lectures isn't the end point. The end point is, how is this going to get applied in ministry? And that we're going to need to do surveys several years out to find out the implications of exposing them to the science in their educational process. So this came from Andy Root at Luther Seminary, and Templeton Foundation had mini grants. And so we had applied for the Science for Youth Ministers mini grant, and this helped fund starting this program and getting it initiated. So we're really appreciative of that. And then in addition, at APU, they had put out an anticipatory thinking grant, which is going to help in the next couple of years to keep this program going for now. So we're really appreciative of this extra support. Are there any questions?
Many questions.
Thank you so much. It's really exciting, the work that you're doing there. I just had, I noted that you had, correct me if I'm wrong, you had a course for all the courses. There was science in the theological courses, and then there was a course on teaching interaction between science and faith, and that was for youth and family ministry, right?
Yes.
I was just wondering, have you considered interacting, putting some theology in the science courses?
We just had some other interaction, which actually was catalyzed by this interaction that we are having, and some other theologian and a different science faculty member got to talking about how to incorporate science and theology students in the same class. And we're at very beginning discussions of that. It was just like mentioned, and that just happened like last week. So this kind of spurred other discussions on campus. So, yeah.
So it turns out, Colleen, that you were on my list. I just hadn't realized it.
My name's spelled differently, that's why.
Yeah. But I do have questions. So one of them is, how could this How does this system help in the not pre-secondary, we'll say, yeah, so during the like high schools or perhaps in primary schools, how does this program help our younger students?
The hope is that as these are future youth ministry students, that they will take what they've learned and go impact the, at least, you know, junior high and high school ministries in their churches and, you know, learn how to have the conversations and start the dialogue and not be afraid. I'm confident that they will not remember the details that we've taught in the class, but I'm hopeful that the recognition of we can have a conversation is there. And when they're asked a question by a student, they're able to at least refer back to something or go ask someone a question. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Okay. And what can be done for those who haven't taken those courses or don't attend your youth university? Like how could we partake in this initiative?
We would love to talk to people who are interested in this and share all of our bumps and bruises and help you have a smoother transition into these kinds of courses, not only at the undergrad level. So as far as we know, we're the only ones at the undergrad level. They are doing in the seminaries a little bit, but there are some resources out there and we're happy to assist in that in any way.
One of the things I often fear is that people who in the Christian faith who don't understand something then go to the internet for their information. And frankly, the internet is a dark force in this area. Are you doing anything with trying to educate these people on how to handle the internet in a more professional, shall we say, manner?
Well, I think that was the importance of understanding the methods used by practical theology and the methods used by science, so that they can go back to the methods. We want something that was foundational because we know science is going to keep changing. There's going to be other things that keep coming up and they're not going to have all the answers. I mean, we don't have all the answers. So at least they know what the methods are to start with and also to know, like Marian had mentioned, know that they need to go ask somebody or pull somebody else into the conversation.
Have you done anything with promoting hospitable dialogue? There's a lot of resources out there on kind of that aspect of helping them engage in that. Has that occurred to you? I know it's only round one. At round five, we can have that conversation, but did that get incorporated at all or what that means, hospitable dialogue?
Well, I think them demonstrating how you dialogue in front of them and demonstrating how to be hospitable and how to agree to disagree or whatever else. I think by demonstrating that, you know, usually actions speak louder than words, that was kind of our approach at this point in time.
Did you make it meta at all? Like, do you see what we just did?
We did not, but you heard the student comment where she picked up that we were different in different views and she respected that we were trying to give the different, or not necessarily that we were different, but that there are differences. Yeah. And I think there were times when we would laugh or something when a question gets asked and one of us would go, who do you want to hear? You know, so I think it was in there. They got it. Yeah.
So my question is, if you've been in dialogue or in communication with professors or teachers from other seminaries or Christian schools in organizing similar sorts of courses and comparing your findings with theirs, I don't know if you could you speak a bit about that?
I think this is the next step for us. We wanted to run it on our campus first, and there are definitely more difficulties that we have to work through, yeah. Just for the one course and how often it's going to run and how the funding is going to continue for two instructors, one instructor, and all these logistical issues. Yeah. But on our way here, Colleen was just also sharing that she would like to see us help other schools, at least local ones, develop this as well.
Or are you aware of whether there are any existing schools that are running like similar courses of that sort?
Not at the undergraduate level. I am not aware of anything at all.
Okay, thanks.
So I don't think there are any, of what I know, schools that do exactly what you do, like bring science into theological courses and then theological courses into science. But there are courses that integrate both science and religion, at least in the University of Alberta. Well, one course, not courses, but one course. Yeah. So they are out there. And a lot of the like people here also have like some initiative in making science and religion courses. So yeah, there's people around that you can talk to and share. And
yeah, it's great. Thanks, Nick. And like I had mentioned, Marian does teach our senior level capstone course for our science majors, which is faith and science and ethics combined. So I know I'm aware of a lot of those kinds of courses, but not taking it into the theology side where they're putting the science at the undergrad level. I'm understanding that there are some at the seminary level, but not at the undergrad level.
And if I may comment, I think a lot of the science and religion courses look at the philosophy of science and religion. But what we were doing is actually teaching science. So, for example, if we're talking about biotechnology, so we had our biotechnology expert go and teach what are stem cells, what are we doing with them so far, what are some of the things we've, you know, reached, and what are some of our failures. And so, it's the science content that I think is unique. And we feel that that helps the learner be somewhat of an expert, not just told how to think about a certain topic, but they've heard for themselves the science of that topic. And then they can be more informed and synthesize their own decision and stance about these issues.
Well, thank you very much.